Well, it's such a joy to have John Vinsley to come and be able to share tonight. It was several years back that a family in our church there in Mesa had felt a call to missions for years, but he had been in the corporate world, and she had actually been as well with him and then came to work at the church and worked with me for about 5 years. They then went to India. Finally, they were in their late 50s when they were appointed to go, and I remember the email that he sent and said, "When you come, Jeff, with a team, I want you to meet Pastor John Vinsley of Madurai." And we did. We connected. And I remember the first weekend that we were there watching little Hindu children that were coming out where they have just heard the message of Jesus. And they had their little chalk on their forehead. They'd been to the temple that day, but they also had come to John's church there, a great congregation. And literally, that a very small building, in a sense, I don't know what it might seat, but it was literally filled with children, almost 1,000 children lined up, line to line, standing there. It was remarkable. And John just shared, and you could see the passion afterwards to watch those little kids come out. And then it was probably within about 9 months later that they had a second. And I know in that outreach, they topped the 1,000 mark, and they had over 1,200 children that had come in. And so they were just determined to try to reach those little Hindu kids for the Lord. And as well, just a fine congregation. I've watched John minister. He networks through a lot of pastors. He has a heart. He is a kingdom-minded, very humble, gentle man with a heart for the kingdom. Don't you love someone like that? I'm telling you, that is his heart. You'll sense it tonight. And we're going to watch just a quick video. If the video is ready, we'll run it. And then John's going to come up. And when he does, after the video, would you give him a big hand at that point? Let's just welcome him to the pulpit tonight. And he'll share some of his heart and India with us. So let's watch this together.
A glimpse of Lighthouse AG, Madurai, South India. Started with two believers in 1991, now it has a congregation of nearly 500 believers, 8 daughter churches and several other ministries. Lighthouse AG serves as a spiritual lighthouse to the community. Reverend T.R. John Vinsley pioneered the Lighthouse AG and continues to be the pastor till date. He also pioneered the campus ministry of the Tamil Nadu Assemblies of God, known as Students for Christ, in 1990 and served as its director until 2008. He is presently serving as one of the 3 coordinators for Missions Department of the All India Assemblies of God. He is blessed with his wife, Lada Sophia, a son, David Leonard, and a daughter, Sharon Liberty. Our Sunday services. In our church, we have 3 services every Sunday. Nearly 500 people are attending every week. Simultaneously, during each service, we also have children's services, in which nearly 100 kids attend. Our children ministry. Ministry to children is an integral part of our church. At present, there are 25 hope clubs conducted in our believers' homes. Nearly 600 children are attending these hope clubs every week. Our carcels. We call our home prayer cells as carcels. 18 carcels are functioning. They are led by our carcel leaders. Our ministry to youth, men and women. We have young girls and young boys ministry. We have ministry among women and men of our church. They are very much involved in evangelism, missions and prayer groups. helping the widows and the poor. Our church regularly supports widows and the poor on a monthly basis. Medical and educational help are given to the needy believers whenever the need arises. Our TV telecast. Since February 2012, we are telecasting a 30-minute TV program once in a week. It has a potential reach of 2.5 million people. Till date, we have received a lot of prayer requests and testimonies of salvation, healing, restoration of marriage relationships, and so on. A blind pastor and his group of believers are regular viewers of the program. They testify that the message helps them to know the Lord more and be edified. Prayer oil. Every week, for the past 2 years, we are giving away nearly 200 prayer oil bottles. It is distributed mostly among non-believers as an object of contact for them to experience the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have had reports of salvation, healing, and deliverance through this ministry. Evangelism and church planting. Evangelism and church planting remain a vital part in our church ministries. Since the inception of our church in 1991, till date, God has enabled us to plant 8 branch churches. Occasionally on weekdays and regularly on Sundays, our believers visit nearby villages in groups and do evangelism, which results in church planting. Missions. Our church is supporting missionaries serving in North India from 1994. Since 2008, we have very much expanded our mission activities in North India. Our church supports 8 missionaries in North India. We have adopted 3 North Indian states, namely Chhattisgarh, Madhya Pradesh, and Odisha. These 3 states have a population of 150 million people. We have only a few Assemblies of God churches in these states. Our vision for these states: 100 new churches in each state, 100 new workers in each state, 100 new church buildings in 3 states. We wish to see this vision fulfilled by AD 2020. So far, we have helped 5 churches to have their own church buildings. We go on short-term mission trips at least twice a year. We request your prayers so that we would be effective in reaching the lost, thereby build the Lord's kingdom and quicken His second coming. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. I thank you one and all for coming again this Sunday night to hear from the Lord. And I'm very thankful to Pastor Jeff and Carla for having me with them these days and giving me an opportunity to speak in the church. I thank the board and all the members of this church for giving me this opportunity. And I've been enjoying the time here, And I was blessed by the morning service, as you all did. And I'm thankful to God for that. Pastor Jeff and Carla, they are taking care of me very well. They are giving me a very royal treatment. Thank you so much. Yesterday, they took me to Sights and Sounds in Branson. And I had an opportunity to watch the Joseph play. And it was marvelous. It's breathtaking. The sets are so big and great. We have never seen anything like that before. And he has promised me to take to Andy's. I said, I am diabetic. But he said, no, you have to come. He is my boss here. There is no other way, I have to obey. The topic for my tonight's sermon is, who will go, who will pray, and who will give? The scripture reference that God gave me as I was praying and meditating and asking God what I should speak to the night's crowd is from Lamentations chapter 4 and verse 4. Because of thirst, the infant's tongue sticks to the roof of its mouth. The children beg for bread, but no one gives it to them. The infant's thirsts for water. The children beg for bread. And we all know the living water is Jesus Christ himself. Is Jesus Christ himself. Amen. And children, the infants, they are asking for it. They are begging for it. See, this old Lamentations, the book of Lamentations is of Jeremiah lamenting over the condition of Judea, Jerusalem. This chapter contrasts the situation before the siege of Jerusalem with the situation after the siege. Because of the people's sin, the sights and sounds of prosperity were gone. This chapter warns us not to assume that when life is going well, it will always... This chapter warns us not to assume that when life is going well, it will always stay that way. We must be careful not to glory in our prosperity and fall into spiritual bankruptcy. When a city was under siege, the city built for protection sealed the people inside. They could not get to the fields to get food and water because the enemy was camped around the city. As food in the city ran out, people watched their enemies harvest and eat the food in the fields. The siege was a test of wills to see which army could outlast the other. Jerusalem was under siege for 2 years. They were surrounded by the mighty Babylonian army. Life became so harsh that people even ate their own children, and dead bodies were left to rot in the streets, and all hope is gone. See, it's the same condition in which now the world is going through. Individual souls, families, cities, people groups, and nations are all under the siege of Satan. In midst of that siege, there are thirsting souls, there are hungry souls who are panting for the living water. Those who are hungry for the living bread that only Jesus Christ could give them. It is the role of the church. It is the body of the church, body of Christ, the church, which has to quench the thirst of those searching souls. Amen. I want to challenge you tonight with a story that is very, very close to my heart. I will read it out from the paper. And Pastor Jeff helped me. I had a very rough draft of it. You would not have enjoyed it if I read it as I translated it from Tamil. But Pastor Jeff helped me to make it more sharp and clearer so that you could understand. This is the story of the missionary, Assemblies of God missionary from America to our part of India, Edwards, Robert Edwards and Doris Edwards. Edington is a small town in North Carolina. Outside, there is a graveyard. There you will find a headstone upon which it reads, "If I had another life to live, I would give it to India. If I had another life to live, I would give it to India." There lies the remains of Robert Edwards, who served as a missionary in South India. Reverend Robert Edwards and his beloved wife, Doris, are considered to be one of the greatest missionary couples of the 20th century. Mrs. Doris Edwards told her story to Reverend P.S. Rajamani, our former General Superintendent of South India. She told of being born on December 2, 1906 in Wisconsin. Her father was a farmer from a Methodist background. She was the firstborn of the family. On her 9th birthday, her mother read her a Bible story from a book which touched her heart. She went on to read the book 3 times for herself. When she read that Jesus Christ died on the cross for her sins, she cried. At the age of 12, her father died. 2 years later, she gave her life to Christ at the age of 14 in a revival meeting at the Methodist Church. She tells of crying the entire night. After high school, she enrolled in college to become a school teacher. Once when she came home during the holidays, a woman was conducting special meetings in her home. In that meeting, Doris and 11 others of her family were filled with the Holy Spirit. On the same day, she received the call into full-time ministry. She saw a vision in which Jesus appeared and told her that she should go to India and serve him. No one had ever shared anything about India with her before that. She asked Jesus, "I do not know the Indian language. How will I go and do ministry there?" Jesus said, "I will teach you their language." The next year, she began teaching and worked at a school for the next 4 years. She earned enough money to go to Bible college. As the time approached, she began wondering why she was going to spend so much money for Bible college when instead she could have made more as a school teacher. She earnestly prayed and realized that going to Bible college was God's will, and thus began studies at Central Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. She transferred her savings account to the bank in Springfield. In a few months' time, she heard that the bank she originally had her savings in had gone bankrupt and was closed. Had she not moved to Springfield to attend Bible college, she would have lost all of her savings. Because of her obedience, the loss was averted. She never regretted following the Lord's call upon her life. She studied at CBC for 3 years and there met Brother Clarence Maloney and was soon married. After pastoring a church, they began to prepare themselves for India. In 1 year's time, they had raised enough funds to begin their missions work. Along with their 2-year-old son, Clarence Jr., they boarded a ship with their Ford car in tow and in 52 days reached Mumbai in June of 1937. After that, their ship went on to Sri Lanka and then to Tuticorin in Tamil Nadu and then to Travancore. While studying at CBC, they had met missionary John Burgess, who invited them to come to Travancore. In Travancore district, they ministered in Mavelikara and learned the Malayalam language. In 1942, the Bible College in Mavelikara was moved to Punalur. While continuing ministry in Punalur, they heard that there was no ministry in Tamil Nadu. After serious prayer, they arranged a Tamil teacher from Chennai to come and teach them this new language. With full intention of returning to Tamil Nadu for ministry, they returned for a short time of itineration in the US. While staying at a missionary home in New York, suddenly on August 4th, 1943, Clarence died. He was only 34. He never had the chance to use the Tamil language he had learned. Darkness fell upon her life. As a widow, what would she do now? Her son Clarence Jr. was 9 years old at the time. She had the burden to return back to India, but as a widow with a young son, how was it possible? Discovering that the missionary home where she stayed was looking for a cook, she accepted the position and worked there from September of 1943 to April 1944. During this time, she received many offers to speak and would travel church to church, sharing her burden for India. Due to World War II, missionaries were unable to travel to any countries during this time. Never losing her burden for India, she decided to once again work as a school teacher. Her sister began making arrangements for this in Wisconsin, yet there was no peace in her heart. One day she received a letter from the AG Missions headquarters. It was an invitation for her to travel as a representative of the Foreign Missions Department. She accepted this as God's will, placed her son in a boarding school, and began conducting missions rallies across the U.S. for the next 3 years. While in North Carolina, preaching at a small church in a very remote area, she met the pastor, Robert Edwards. She became acquainted with his difficult life story of losing both his wife at a young age as well as his 13-year-old daughter. He shared with her that God had led him to pastor this small church, but that one day he knew he would minister in India. Jokingly, a friend of his told him he was getting too old to go as a missionary. Yet Robert knew in his heart what God has spoken to him. Within a short time, it was evident to Robert and Doris that God had brought them together. They were soon approved by the Assemblies of God as missionaries to India, and on November 30th of 1946, they were united in marriage, and 2 weeks later began the journey by ship to India. There you see the pictures of Robert and Doris. Battling illness throughout the journey, they safely arrived in December 1946 and began ministry in Mavelikara, where Doris had previously ministered. The first Sunday, Robert stood in the pulpit of the very church that Doris's first husband had preached 10 years before. For the next 9 months, Robert and Doris studied the Tamil language. At the urging of the Mission Secretary for India, they chose to do pioneer work in Sengota in Tamil Nadu. Often traveling by bicycle or simply walking, the couple one day went into a village and found a woman who said she had prayed for 10 years for a missionary to come to her village, even to the point of saving a house in preparation for a missionary couple. The Edwards had found a home. Doris told of holding to the promises of God's word through her life's difficulties. How many of the pages in her Bible were stained with tears? One of her favorites was Isaiah 45 verses 3 and 4. I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. Doris came to recognize those treasures of darkness to be the souls of India won into his kingdom. Going village to village in the streets, Robert would preach in English, Doris would translate best she could into Tamil, and the local pastor would then proclaim the word loudly to the crowds that gathered. The first convert came in the village of Jeevanallur. In their home, they began to hold Sunday services, and soon a church was born. In 1949, land was purchased and the first AG church was built in Kanakapulai Valasai. It was dedicated in memory of her first husband, Clarence Maloney, who never returned to Kanakapulai Valasai. The week of the dedication, a revival meeting was held and a man named Y. Jayaraj recommitted his life to Christ, was water baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, and received a call to the ministry. Years later, he went on to become the first general superintendent of India. The first Bible college was started in 1948 in Madurai, Tamil Nadu, by missionary Oliver Forth. For 3 years, Robert would faithfully leave by train every Monday morning at 2:30 a.m. to spend a week of teaching, returning Saturday evenings in time for services the next day. In January of 1950, God gave Doris and Robert a son, Robert Edwards Jr. In the picture you see, Robert Edwards, Doris Edwards, her first son, Clarence Jr., and as a small baby, Robert Edwards Jr. In 1952, a difficult decision had to be made. Their oldest son, Clarence Jr., had graduated high school. India was in their hearts, and how difficult it was to prayerfully decide to send Clarence back to the U.S. for college while remaining with the work in India. Doris stood on the shore, eyes filled with tears, as she watched the ship slowly disappear from her sight on the horizon. Yet she remained steadfast to the call God had placed upon her life. Upon returning to their home, Doris received the terrible news of a young man from the church who had committed suicide. As Doris and Robert wept with the parents, they realized the tremendous need of an industrial school to provide hope of work and a future for such young people. They approached the missions committee, who approved the work and yet had no funds to give toward the vision. Sorry. With what little they had, the school began in a humble shed with just 9 students in 1952. Their instructor, a carpenter by trade, felt strongly the boys needed to not only attend during the day, but be allowed to live on the premises. The boys ended up sleeping in the same shed that was used for their classroom, as well as the kitchen and dining area. Yes, making their own bricks, the students began building a structure for the industrial school. One day, all their work tumbled to the ground. The next morning, they began to build again. Field director M.L. Ketchum came one day to see the school and left greatly burdened with its needs. He wrote an article for the Pentecostal Evangel, and response began to immediately come. Still today, hundreds of students are continually being trained at the AG Industrial School. Countless of these students have gone on to serve the Lord as strong laymen in churches as well as pastors throughout all of India. As God continued to bless the ministry of Robert and Doris, the church in Tamil Nadu continued to grow and more buildings were built. Robert served as a great leader in missions as well as the district superintendent for many years. In 1960, Robert was diagnosed with shingles, ultimately leading the family to return to the United States after 14 years of faithful ministry. This was a wonderful time of reunion for Doris and her extended family. Yet, Robert's health continued to decline, and so his close friend Andrew Sterling, the district superintendent of North Carolina, took him there for rest. Yet Doris began a 32,000-mile journey crisscrossing America to tell of the work in India. Every Saturday they would speak on the telephone, and Robert would comfort her that he would be well soon. The day came that they were both able to be together in travels again, and Doris later referred to these as some of the happiest times of her life. In 1961, in preparation for leaving again for India, Doris tells of her heartbreak in sending their son Robert Jr. at the age of 10 to Mississippi for boarding school. Due to her husband's medical condition, they were unable to gain their visas for departure for India. During this time, Robert grew ill again and returned to North Carolina, while Doris continued her travels. While in New Jersey, she was called back to his bedside because he had grown so weak and was unable to stand up and walk on his own. Over the next few weeks, often he would ask her to sing together some of their favorite hymns, such as "There is a Fountain," "Higher Ground," "In the Sweet By and By," and "Jesus, Lover of My Soul." They had treasured these songs over their 15 years of marriage and ministry in India. On July 26th of 1961, he told Doris of his love for her and that he wished to return to India that he might die in ministry there. That very day, Robert went to be with the Lord as she sat by his side. On Robert's tombstone reads the following: "A good fight, a finished course, a kept faith, a crown of righteousness at the resurrection. If I had another life to live, I would give it to India." In reflection upon the lives of both her husbands who had served with her in India, Doris pondered the words of Jesus in John 12:24. "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." In her heart, two beloved seeds had been planted for India, and she believed for a great harvest. Knowing her work was not completed, she was ordained on September 22nd of 1961 and returned to India on her own. 2 years later, Doris fell and broke her left leg. She returned for itineration in America 4 years later and drove 40,000 miles visiting churches, which put tremendous stress upon the leg. She could have chosen to stay in America, yet felt compelled to return to India and did so the following year. She continued her ministry in Kanakapulai Valasai, and 16 years later, at the age of 78, fell again, this time breaking her other leg. Following surgery in Madurai, she contracted an infection due to improper medical care. When asked how she was doing, never a negative word came out of her mouth. She simply would say, "For my age, I am doing good." nothing deterred Doris from the work God had called her. She continued in ministry into her elderly years. She was known to everyone simply as Mother. What began as no AG church in Tamil Nadu in 1947, thanks to one woman and her tenacious faithfulness to the call of God upon her life, today you will find over 350,000 members in 2,500 churches. Praise the Lord. In 50 years of ministry, actually it is 55 years of ministry, in 55 years of ministry, Doris returned to the United States only 4 times. On March 17th, 1991, Doris Edwards passed away at the age of 85 and was buried in Kanakapule Valasai. It is written on her tombstone as, "A woman of love, she loved God and gave her life to Him. She loved India and gave her lifetime service." Praise be to God. Hallelujah. I have got the opportunity to meet this wonderful woman of God. I got saved in the year 1986. After that, even before that, from the Roman Catholic background, as my mother got saved and we started attending an Assemblies of God church, I used to attend the youth camp every year. At the youth camp, she would never fail to come and attend. We could see her at every other pastor's conference, every other meetings of the district, even with her legs broken, both legs, she could not able to walk, she will be on her wheelchair. In her crutches, she will attend every session of the meetings. Her life is a great challenge for all those who know him. And we all are proud for Doris and the Edwards because of their faithfulness. Now in Tamil Nadu, we have a very great harvest of souls. The churches are growing. We have, she had set a good role model to all the leaders of India, so that the leaders of Assemblies of God churches in Tamil Nadu, they are following their footsteps, their dedication, their sacrifice, and they are widening the kingdom of God in Tamil Nadu. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, in my life, since 1990 until 2008, it was church and campus ministry. Both side by side, I was doing it. In year 2008, I left the campus ministry, left the leadership position, but I still continued to be involved in that campus ministry. I was asking God, all my ministry life, I had two things to do. So far, church and campus ministry. Now, I am left only with the church ministry. Lord, is there anything in your heart for me to do? I was just praying and wondering when and where God would lead me. In 2008, in the month of August, in the state of Orissa, that is in North India, there was a great persecution. In that persecution, 56 believers, including several pastors, were killed by the Hindu fanatics. 120 church buildings, fully or partially, was destroyed. 15,000 Christian families were rendered homeless and became refugees in their own land. Nearly 20 Christian schools and hospitals were vandalized. So it remained a war zone. Nobody could enter into that state from outside of other parts of India. We waited till November, and myself and three other pastors, we had an urge in our heart to go visit the Christians, those who are in the refugee camps, and do whatever help possible to them. So in the month of November, we took a trip to that state of Orissa. And we were going, visiting around the refugee camps, distributing them whatever possible we could. And one fine day, a local pastor took us to a remote village to show how they have vandalized. It was a Christian village. How they have damaged it, he wanted to show us. So we went in a jeep, three of us and two other local people and the driver. So six of us, we went there. We were looking at the houses, the church building that had been destroyed, and we were taking some pictures and videos of it. The local pastor sensed some trouble, and he said, "Pastors, we should move from this place immediately." We didn't realize what he understood. So we delayed for some time, and then he was urging us, "Let us move quickly from this place." So finally we moved from that village to the main road. It is nearly 300 meters. We should come. It is both sides. It is bushy. And it's just a very narrow road in which the jeep went. As we approached the main road, there around 20-25 thugs, they had sticks in their hands and some other weapons in their hands. They put their motorcycles and bicycles before our vehicle, blocked the way and stopped us. Inside the jeep, we didn't know what to do, just called upon the God. And in just fraction of seconds, on the road came two truck loads of military personnel and a jeep in front of it with a military officer. All the 2 weeks we went around that state, we have never seen any military vehicle patrolling on the road. Looking at that vehicles, these fellows took their bicycles, took their motorcycles, they have put to block us, and we had a safe passage out. God spoke to me, "I am sparing your life. Because you have to come back and minister to the people of Orissa." So I decided in my heart, I will return back to the state of Orissa and continue ministering to these people. Since then, I have made nearly 25 trips to the state of Orissa. It is far away from the place where we live. It will take two nights and 1 day of travel by train. So God enabled us, and we are seeing many, many fruits in that state of Orissa. We are in, after that, from the district, they asked us to go and minister in two other neighboring states. One is Madhya Pradesh and another is a state named Chhattisgarh. So we took those two states along with Orissa, and we are reaching out to these three states. All these three states has a population of 150 million people. And in all the three states, there is anti-conversion law in force. It is illegal to share, to witness, and to give baptism and add people to the church. Most of the churches, they run underground. Whenever we go, we hear testimonies from pastors. "I have been to prison. Only last week, I came out of prison." And they will gladly say, "I had an opportunity to share the gospel inside the prison." Hallelujah. So this is what's happening in these three states. We established some good contacts. Those who have real burden and vision to take forward the kingdom of God in these three states. And we are working along with them. We are raising support from Tamil Nadu, and we are sending it to those men. And through them, we supervise the work, and the church is growing in these three states. I would like to mention three pastors who are working sincerely in that area. One is Pastor Moses from Orissa. He is from Tamil Nadu, went there as a missionary. In 10 years' time, he had established 18 churches, trained 10 workers. Whenever we meet him, we could see he is not satisfied with what he is doing. We could see him very active all the time. And there is a great need in the place where he is ministering. And another pastor is Pastor Augustine in Madhya Pradesh. This pastor is ministering in a certain district of Madhya Pradesh. And in his 15 years of ministry, he is able to establish 35 churches. In all the 35 churches together, there are more than 5,500 people in all these 35 churches. They all worship in small sheds. It's very difficult to see them, how they were accommodating so many people in such small sheds. But they are gladly worshiping, serving the Lord. And as I was traveling with Pastor Jeff, I shared with him, wherever there is freedom of worship, freedom of worship, people are very, very lazy, lethargy, and they consider coming to church as a religious duty. But you have to go and see in places where there is persecution, where there is no freedom, no liberty. There the people, they throng for the Lord. In the picture you see, a pastor in his yellow shirt is a pastor. His name is Ajay Jogi. He is a native pastor serving in the state of Chhattisgarh. And he is doing a very marvelous work among a certain people group. He wants to see that the entire people group should be reached for the Lord. He literally serves the Lord day and night. Day and night he serves the Lord. Always active, visiting the villages, and whenever we go there, we come motivated by seeing them at work. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, this is the third pastor. So we have such good men of God in contact in these states, and through them, we are furthering the kingdom of God. Many souls are coming to the saving knowledge of Christ. There you see Pastor Moses of Orissa. Out of these three, two they went from. One from Tamil Nadu as a missionary to Orissa. The other one is a native missionary. The third one, Pastor Augustine, he went from Kerala to minister in Madhya Pradesh. So in Tamil Nadu, we are conducting many, many missions conventions in every section of Assemblies of God, and young men in our youth camp, in the students' camp, they commit their lives to go as missionaries, to serve as full-time workers in God's vineyard, and it's happening in India. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus. With some challenge, I would like to close. Today, I read the closing chapters of Live Dead Handbook. In that one sentence, one statement, it's a great challenge. I will do as much as I can, says one. Any fool can do that. He that believes in Christ does what he cannot do, attempts the impossible and performs it. We will always have life challenges, struggles, needs. It will never have an end until we die. If we are looking at our life problems, we can all the time look at our problems and worry about it. There is another choice, not looking at our problems, our needs and our challenges. Instead, looking out beyond our reach, and try our best, give our best to reach them for the life, for the kingdom of God. Amen. I've stated in two ways we can choose to die. One, die for myself, and I can die for others. Which one is noble? Dying for others is noble. Jesus died not for himself. He gave his life for this world. So I challenge with these words, let us live for others and not for ourselves. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.